for the preacher to come down and feed you like a waiter at some high-end restaurant. I'm sorry, but you have the wrong church. But if you are willing to put forth the effort and the sacrifice, then this altar will become a buffet where doggy bags are encouraged. Extreme Days is not a dine-in experience. It is a take-out experience. 2 years ago, our Chiefs for Christ theme was Activate. It was all about the wonderful power of the Holy Ghost. However, Acts 1 and 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall jump higher than before, or run faster than before, praise more intensely than before, or worship deep." No, it doesn't say any of that. The scripture says, "But ye shall receive power after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." When you receive that blessed power of the Holy Ghost, you are no longer in church for simply yourself, but you are in it for your neighbor, for your coworker, for your classmate, your teacher, and your boss, or a complete stranger that you just happen to meet on some random day. Last year, our theme was be. To be what, you ask? To be a meal. To be someone to talk to. To be someone who cares. To be someone who gives without thought of return. To be salt, to be light, to be whatever it is. Paul said that I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I may save some. For some people, we will be the only Jesus that they see. We do not just go into school and go to work with a random ambition. We go to a specific mission field that we have been placed, where we have a chance to change the world from the inside out. We don't know what our neighbor needs us to be, but I hope that we condition ourselves so that we can meet those needs and they can see Jesus within us. We have been empowered and we have been placed. And our theme this year is now. Now is the time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." This is a very bright flashlight, but it shines even brighter in the darkness. I understand that our world is heading in a very dark direction. But the darker it gets, the lighter this light shines. Our God is doing things on a global scale. Every nationality is coming to America. God is literally bringing the world to us. There's only one other time in history where the influx of people was so great. We don't need to be worrying ourselves with the state of our world. Instead, we need to be focused on what God is doing and getting in on what the Spirit is doing. How do I get in on it? How do I focus in on it? If you are worried about what the devil is doing in our world, then don't worry. God has a scripture for that too. In Revelations 12, 10 and 11, it says, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of the brethren, who is accursed before them, before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death." We have already won the battle against the devil. Now is the beautiful cleansing blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I leave you with this thought. Now is the time. Now.
I love it. So, we're not going to have a preaching song. I'm just going to come up here and we're going to talk. So, before we... I lied. I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Real quick, sorry to interrupt. We have a gentleman here this morning who was baptized in the name of Jesus and received the Holy Ghost. His name is Okyide Owikioli. Roy knows. So if you could please come forward. Olikioli. There he is. Yes. All right. Praise God. God bless you. This actually puts me in prime position because James was going to try to come up here and preach without an introduction. So, well, it is with great honor to be able to have my buddy James come preach this morning. I'm not going to embarrass him this morning. He's done that enough on his own at times. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I appreciate this guy very much. I really do. Just in all truth and honesty, he is a very great help to my wife and I on our youth team. Spends a lot of time with the guys, picking them up, hanging out with them, outside of youth events, mentoring them and investing in their lives. And so that's what we need in youth ministry, especially with the times. And so I very much appreciate James Novak and his involvement in the youth team, and appreciate the opportunity to hear him preach this morning.
Thank you. Kind words by Carl Grant. Thank you very much. Before we start, I want to pray. We had a wonderful worship service today. God is awesome, and he deserves another round of praise, really, honestly. Thank you. So let us worship as we pray. Lord Jesus, you are worthy, you are awesome, you are holy, you are righteous. You are everything, God, that we need. And tonight, Father, I am praying, let your words be the words that come out tonight, Father. Lord, let your words minister to spirit and soul, mind and body, Father. Be here in a mighty way that you may be glorified in our lives. Father, we pray right now and we bind every distraction, everything that is going to try to not allow us to get what you have for us. We rebuke it. We command it right now to be stayed, Jesus. Lord God, we worship you. We exalt you, Father. We expect great things tonight because you said that you will always be here, God, that you're in the midst of your people, God, that you inhabit the praises of your people, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Bless the word and all things that you may be glorified. Amen. So this morning, I want to talk about a precursor to Carl Grant's message tonight, which is going to be just mind-blowing. This morning, I want to talk about something simple that we don't think about a lot. We emphasize a lot of God and the spiritual aspects, which we should, which is, you know, worship and praise and faith and miracles and these things. But there's something that precursors that it's something simple, and it's not complex. I'm not really a complex person, but all it is willingness. It's one simple word, and that is the one thing that we need to get a hold of. So this morning I would like to preach on the will to act, and I will be speaking from Luke chapter 22 verses 40 through 42. When you're there, say amen. Anybody? All right. And when he, meaning Jesus, was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Willingness is something that can cause victory or defeat. Because in both ways in our lives, we can be willing. We can be willing to submit and walk towards God, or we can be willing to walk away. It's a choice. This one thing can cause us to succeed or fail. In fact, Jesus was crucified because somebody was willing to do the wrong thing. If you read in the Bible in Mark chapter 15, verses 15, and so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Jesus was crucified because Pilate was more concerned about what other people thought than what was actually right. He was willing to compromise. The enemy relies on your willingness to compromise. Can I get an amen? All right. We're waking up Sunday, 10:55. Let's get in the zone. Let's get in the God zone today. The enemy relies on your willingness to compromise. Now, how is that possible? What causes this? Well, if you're not based on a firm foundation, you are going to compromise. Our willingness to do stuff in our own life, whatever choices we make, is based on our foundation. If you're out in the world, for those of you who have come from a spot where some of us, we don't understand, you have an intricate understanding of this. You know what it's like to stand on nothing and be willing to do anything. Pastor Grant has spoken it many times. If you stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. This is something that we need to grasp as young people, because this is the start of growing in God, of a foundation, is your willingness to talk to Him, to have a relationship with Him, to do whatever He asks. When Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," that was the start right there of everything for Him. You have to know what you stand for. The Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Who can think of somebody that was willing in the Bible? I'm an interactive person. I like to hear people from the audience respond. Who can think of John, Abraham, Matthew, Noah? Who else? Elijah, Mary, Jonah. Good. All right. Now, what we're getting at here is, how many people in the Bible do you know that were unwilling? The answer is nobody. Everybody in the Bible was willing to do something. We look in the Bible and we emphasize these great people, the Noahs and the Jonahs and all these people that were willing to do what God wanted. And then we teach from the Bible about the people that were not willing or were willing to do something wrong. Judas. Who else? Let me think. Samson. Adam and Eve, they were willing to compromise. I mean, let's be honest. Let's go back to the beginning. God said, "Don't do it," and they didn't stand on that. And they were willing to listen to the enemy when he said, "Oh, it's fine. You can eat the apple, the fruit. Don't, you won't die. It's okay." He's like, "Okay, I'll believe a talking snake." And she was willing to compromise. Your willingness with God is the fuse. It's the start of everything. And your relationship and your faith and all these things that you encompass after you receive His Spirit and after you begin to grow is like the dynamite in your life. When a situation comes against you, it doesn't matter what it is, you have to be willing to fight it. If you're not willing, then the battle is already over. It's done. If you're unwilling, the enemy is just going to run you over like a tank. That's why the Bible says, stand. Therefore, that's the entire purpose of all of this. You have to be willing to work with God. God's willing to work with you. The Bible says He's willing, but the flesh is weak. God is always willing to work with whatever situation you have in your life. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your past or your future or anything else. God is willing. He took the first step. He was crucified on Calvary. He died. He bled. He rose again. All he needs is for you to be willing. That's the only thing he needs from you to start. In Matthew 14, 22, we're going to read about Peter walking on the water. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. So Jesus already had this planned. He says, all right, you guys, you're following me. Get in the ship. Row, you know, cross this river here, this pond, lake, whatever, and I'll meet you on the other side. So he's got this worked out. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Peter didn't even question it. He saw it was Jesus. Like, if it's you, bid me come out there. Jesus is like, all right, come on out here. Peter was willing. That's the reason why he was the one walking on the water. That's the reason why he was the one in the midst of the miracle. It's because he was willing. It's not the fact that he had faith, I guess that's part of it, but he's sort of like, oh, God, I have great faith, it's you, and he just jumped out of the ship, and it was just, if it's you, I'll come out there. He was willing. That's it. That was the start. And the fact that it was Jesus out there, he knew he couldn't fail. If you're walking towards Jesus, how can you fail if you're willing? Physically, it doesn't happen like that. Now, if there was some random guy maybe in Caesarea that he met, you know, 6 months ago, and he was like, hey, I'm walking on the water, come out here. I mean, you're not Jesus. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not as willing because you're not the miracle worker I know. But he was willing. He hopped out in the water, and he went. And then he saw the winds and the waves and all these things, and his faith wavered. He got scared. He saw all these things around him, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me, please. Jesus is right there. Boom. I got you. And it started because willingness to step out of something that he knew for sure was safe, to go to a God that he knew for sure was safer. Why was he willing? Because he trusted in God more than anything else. How else can I say this? What else do would make sense? It's God. If God says, do this, don't worry, I got you, I'm going to be willing. I mean, that's like going into a war zone with like a fleet of tanks behind you. What's going to stop that? Nothing. If God's backing you, nothing's going to stop you. If you're willing to go. See, because God's never had a perfect vessel. God's never had someone that's like, God looks down and he's like, oh, yes, you are perfect. You've never sinned. I think I'll use you because, you know, all the qualifications and such and so on and so forth. It's perfect. Yes, indeed. No. Look at all the disciples. Were they perfect? No. Peter perfect? No. when Jesus walked out amongst the people and walked from town to town, he found disciples. He was like, hey, you, follow me. Like, okay, sure. They're willing. That was it. And then you read about the rich, I believe it was the rich young ruler that walked with Jesus, and he's like, okay, what do I need to do more? I've done all these things from my youth and kept the commandments. And Jesus says, all right, you know, you've been doing really good. Sell all that you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible says the man went away sad because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to let it go. Had he been willing, I'm 95% sure the Bible would have read a little bit differently. That it might have told of the rich young ruler's exploits and the things that he did with God and the miracles and the signs and wonders because he was willing to go the distance. But he couldn't do it. And he walked away and he said, you know, God, I'm not willing to give this up. I'm not willing to do it. I mean, Peter and John and Paul and all these guys, I mean, they had good jobs. They were tent makers and fishermen. I mean, they weren't rich. But they had enough, and I'm assuming that they would be very happy in their jobs and their careers with their family. But they said, okay, I'll follow you. I'll do it. I'm pretty sure that there wasn't a lot of faith operating when Jesus walked by and said, come follow me. And they were like, great faith, I will walk across this water to you, Lord. No, it was just, yeah, you know, I'll follow you. I'm willing. Now, this is a side note that ties into this, but I think this is something for our young people and for many people here to understand as far as willingness with God is, have you ever wondered why a big name, powerful preacher comes in and you're like, wow, and it's just like the preaching, you're just like, and it's like the Spirit's flowing, you're just like, ah, and you're like, God, if that preacher comes and prays for me, then I'm going to know it's you and I'm going to receive my miracle. And he doesn't come and pray for you and you don't get it. Because in my life, that's happened to me where I've been dealing with things and somebody comes here, some respected guy or some guy that I know is a powerful man of God. And says, Lord, I'm dealing with some stuff right now or this and that. And God, if he comes down from the platform, he comes over here and he prays for me, I'm going to know it's you and I'm going to get it. And I'm going to be able to do this. And it doesn't happen. It's like, man, God, well, I don't, what's going on? I mean, I'm willing, you know, God, I'm willing to change and do all these things, but if he comes and prays for me, why didn't he come and pray for me? I don't get it. It's not about the preacher. If you're so focused on the preacher and about, oh, what he can do for me, how on earth is God going to do anything for you? How? You should have more faith in God than the person speaking up on the platform. It shouldn't matter. I mean, let's be real. Let's put the rubber here to the road. If God was to answer that and say, all right, this person's going to come over here and pray for me, then you would have more faith in that preacher than you would have faith in God. And then another situation would come up and you go, God, I really need this preacher to pray for me. And this preacher isn't here. I can't do it. I don't have enough faith. What's going on? Guess what? It's because you don't have faith in God. You had faith in that preacher. God's willing. God is willing, period. Look unto God, the author and finisher of our faith. I mean, read the Bible. Look at the miracles. Look at the signs and wonders. Look what God does. Look at the promises. He's willing to do anything in your life that you need, that he wants to do in your life. He's willing to do it, but he relies on you. God doesn't drive any parked cars. Doesn't happen. If you're sitting there doing nothing, I mean, hey, that's great, but God's not going to do things with you and work with you if you're just sitting there. That's part of the willingness. And faith without works is dead. You say that you have faith. Where's your works? All right, God, I have faith. I believe you can do it. God says, all right. If you believe, be willing. Show me. show me. Show me your work. Show me your willingness. Show me that you're willing to come up here and I'll take care of the rest. I just, there's no words in my mind to describe how much just Spirit is bottom line, Peter was willing. And his willingness was the step before his faith in God. It was the catalyst. It was the start of everything for him. Maybe today you don't have faith in God because you've never known him. You've never had a relationship with him. Or maybe at one time you did know him and you lost your way. Because that happens. I mean, we like to call it backsliding. Where you're like, oh, I'm right with God, and then you backslide and you sin. You're like, I'm backslidden now. Ugh. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've been through. There are people here who have been through a lot more than others. I've talked to some people that have been through a lot more than I could ever deal with. A lot more. But if they're willing to come up here and they have all these burdens and things, what's stopping you? What's stopping you? I mean, we go to Youth Congress. We're willing to go there, and we're willing to get great things from God there, and then you come home and you're like, okay, God, it's, ooh, I don't know if I can do this. It's the same God. He's still willing. What's different? Is it the environment? Is it that there's all these people around now, and now that this is all these people and they're all worshiping God, now suddenly you're willing? I mean, because that's something scientific. It is, you know, where you have a crowd mentality and apathy, and something happens, and you're like, okay, well, someone's getting mugged. It's like, I don't want to call because there's that guy over there and he'll call or something. And maybe they're willing, but you're not. Someone else is there. It's like 15% of these horrible things that happen when there's a crowd. It's like 15% of the people are willing to call versus where it should be 100%. Because it's just you and God here right now in this place. It's not everybody else. Everybody else isn't looking at you, wondering, oh, what do they do to get here? I mean, it's just you and God today, this morning. It's just you and him. That's it. God's willing. Are you? In your life, are you willing to let God move? Are you? That's a question that you really do need to sit down and ask yourself. I mean, I can have faith, be like, God, I know you can do this. Woo, yeah, praise God. And I can get up here and I can go through all the motions. And it's like, sweet, praise God. And God's like, cool, you are going through all the motions. But are you really willing? Because I know everybody here goes through circumstances and situations. I understand that, at least a part of it. I've been through some of my life. Some not so easy. And I had to be willing to let God do it. I had to be willing to go through some things, even though I didn't want to. It seems like a silly story to some people, but for me, this was kind of a big deal. When I was younger, I came from a family where all the guys had been in the Air Force, like my dad, my grandpa, I believe my great-grandpa. It's like 20 years, and it's like, cool, like everyone's like, yeah, and kind of like a pride thing where it's like military, you know, and part of serving the country. And so when I was like 17, 18, I was like, I really want to join the military. I want to go to the Air Force, the Marines, and like I want to be a part of what Dad did and what Grandpa did. And it's like, yeah, get that like little pride in yourself, and you feel like it's where you belong. And so I prayed about it. I was like, God, I really want to go. You know, I'd make my dad proud. And God said, no, not going to do it. It's not for you. I was like, well, that sucks. Like, whatever. So then I went down to ROTC, and I did some training with the Marines, and I worked out for a while, and I was like two times a month, you know, I was working out, and I was going to sign up. Like, I was like, yeah, you know, I do it. God's like, no, you're not going to do it. It's not for you. And I really struggled with that because I felt like that was my place. I felt like that's where I belonged. That was my destiny. And during that, I wasn't willing to listen. And you ever notice how when you're not willing to listen to certain situations, you kind of just like kind of back away from the people that would really like want to speak into your life and help you? I mean, because when you start to get into things, whether it's drugs or alcohol or pornography or whatever it is that you might have been through or abuse, that's very common now. And it's everything. It's all sorts of social media bullying and everything. When you get involved in this, you kind of push yourself away from everybody that wants to help, and you try to fit in with people that will accept you, that are willing to accept you. I never forget, I believe it was Brother Jeff Arnold said, you ever wonder why a teen girl gets pregnant and she comes into church and everybody pushes her out and you wonder why she's stuck under a bridge somewhere with piercings in her nose and her ears around all these people dressed in all black and spikes in hair and stuff? Because these people are willing to accept her more than people here. And I'm not saying here at this church. I'm just saying that was what he had said in his message that he preached. Because we have a wonderful church here. And I've never known really of any instance where someone comes in, they're like, no, we don't want you here. No, come on. We have outreach for just everything. You're welcome here. We want you here. So, back to what we were talking about before is willingness, as far as, are you willing? If you're dealing with a situation in your life where whatever it is, doesn't matter, things need to change, you know it, are you willing? If you are willing, then show God that you're willing. I mean, I'm a big fan of worship. Worship is, to me, like one of the best things that God ever even came up with the idea. Because you start worshiping, you start praising, and you know what lifting your hands is? It's just a sign of willingness. It's like, God, you know what? I'm actually open to this today. I'm open to being different. I'm open to changing today. And you start worshiping, and you start praising, and you start lifting, you know, God, you are God. You are in control. You are the great I am, the faithful leader, promise keeper. You are everything. At that point, your pride just disappears. Because you finally recognize that God is actually in control. You're willing to go there. And from there, you just begin to work with God. Like, God, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for this. God's like, you know what? You're willing. And then you repent. And you get into the repentance, and God, and please just clean me out and get all these things out of me that is just junk that I've dealt with in my life and everything else. And you know, the Bible says that if you confess it, God's faithful and just to forgive it. Boom, gone. If you say, God, I'm sorry, I want to turn around, I don't want to be that person, don't want to be that way anymore, boom, it's gone. God doesn't even remember it. It's as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. And you just begin to worship, and you begin to praise. And the beautiful thing is, when God sees a willing vessel, he says, you know what? You're willing. And he begins to fill you with his spirit. And in that spirit that God gives you, you just begin to speak in a different language. And that is biblical. That's what the Bible says, is that that's an evidence for you. That you know that God is finally inhabiting, that God is in you. I mean, and there's a lot of people here that have his spirit. It's called the Holy Ghost, is what the Bible says. It's not like a, it's not a ghost. But it's his spirit dwelling in you. And you have somebody on your side when you deal with something. So it's, okay, God, I'm dealing with this today. I'm dealing with that today. How am I going to deal with God? And you just don't know how to deal with it. God's like, well, it's all right. You're my son. I got your back. There's a little illustration that I positively love to use is a guy comes in to a king and he says, "Hey, king, what's up? I need like 20 bucks. And king's like, "I have no idea who you are. You could just escort him out of here. Like, what in the world?" About 10 minutes later, the king's son walks in and says, "Hey, dad, can I get 20 bucks? King's like, "Oh, yeah, sure, here. You're my son." You want someone in your life, a father, someone that can help you in your spiritual needs, in your times of trouble? Come to God. Boom, problem solved. He's willing. Now back to Peter. Peter was an outspoken risk taker. Peter was the type of person that would run into a crowd, didn't even matter if he knew anybody or not. He was like, "I'm going to do this." He was the type of person where it's like, he's just all crazy and wild, and you're like, "Hey, I dare you to go jump over that wall." And he was like, "Okay." Peter was that kind of guy. He was willing to do anything. And that's why Jesus chose him, because he was willing. I mean, he was crazy. He was unrefined. He was, probably a little bit different at the time. But he would do anything for a friend, for a buddy. And Jesus was that and more to him. You must be willing to let go of all the weights and chains that so easily beset you and run with patience the race that is set before you, as the Bible says. You cannot run a race covered in chains. You can't do it. It's not going to happen. You need all that junk off of you. And it all starts with just a willingness to be open-minded, young people. That's all. So if you would stand, please, tonight. God is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything that you don't want to do. God created us by hand, born here on this earth. You are God's child, whether you choose to accept that or not. He made you. And he's willing to do whatever it takes to get you. But you have to be willing to come to God. He's not going to chase you and force you to do anything. The greatest gift that somebody could give, in my opinion, is time. If you're willing to give somebody your time, that's the only commodity that you can't get back. Once you spend your time, that's it. It's gone. It's done. Can't get it back. Money, you can spend it, get it back, whatever. Time, it's irreplaceable. You only got so much. If you're unwilling, God cannot do anything in your life. If you're willing to let him work, if you're willing to let things change, if you want to stay in your seat and talk to God, you can. If you want to come to this altar, you can. But don't try with God to fake him out. Be like, "All right, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want to do," and walk out the door and be like, "Ah, whatever. Like, I'm not going to do it." If you're not willing, don't lie to God. God does not like lying. Tell him the truth. If it sounds bad, then it sounds bad, but it's the truth. If you're willing, come on up here, sit down in your seat, begin to talk to God in your life, and have him move. Please. You don't know if you walk out that door today, you could be gone. You don't know. In my opinion, you only get one shot at this. I mean, if you're driving on a road and you stop at a stoplight and there's cars coming and there's that little gap right there and there's a bunch of traffic, you bet you're going to take that. You're going to stomp on the gas and you're boom and you're going to slide in that slot. Be willing with God. Hallelujah, Jesus.